Well, we're finally wrapping up. Some of you are saying, finally. We're finally wrapping up a series called Kingdom. And I kind of said that we were wrapping it up last week. And then you're probably thinking, well, we're probably going to actually wrap it up next week or sometime in September. Or this church is going to be called Kingdom Church after this because it's going to become everything we do. But I'm wrapping it up this week. And I know this for sure because next week we're starting a new series called Super Summer. That's a pretty good series name, isn't it? Super Summer. And so for 3 weeks, we have a pretty exciting lineup coming up. I just want to tell you about it because I'm excited about it. So excited that I thought we should call it Super. Next week, we're having Pastor Adam Ziegenhagel come here. Some of you know him. Some of you don't. He used to be the youth pastor here, and he's loved and cared for. He had to move, and he's coming back to preach, and we're excited to have him come and preach. The week after that, we have two interns this summer, and they have been serving like crazy. You may not see them all the time, and that's probably because they're behind the scenes serving somewhere that you don't know. If you got to go and look in some storage areas or things like that, you might be able to recognize their work. But they've served in a lot of places. They've been at camps. They've been serving every single week at youth and kids. They've been building programs, creating ministries, cleaning up when we need them to clean up. We've traveled with one of them and we've done ministry. They've been doing a whole load of stuff. So next, the 16th of August, right in the middle of our Super Summer series, we're going to have those two interns and their overseers, our youth pastor, Pastor Matt Powell, and our kids pastor, Pastor Joel Wilson. We are going to have those four people each take 5 minutes to preach to us. That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. And so they'll all get a chance to preach to us. We'll have a hook that we can pull them off. I'm just kidding. But we're going to cheer them on. We want to give them a chance to do that and be in front of us because they've been serving us so faithfully. And we just want to hear from them, hear their hearts, maybe on youth, maybe on kids, maybe just on Jesus. And so we want to give them that chance. We're excited to do that on the 16th. And then the week after that, to finish off our Super Summer series, we're having a man that some of you know, have known in the past, but Pastor Craig Miller is going to come and preach here. And some of you know him, some of you don't, but he was a pastor here at this church many years ago, and he's just a loved man. He's very, very well appreciated. He's pastoring a church over in Surrey now, and he's going to come back and preach for us that week. So if you need a break from me, you're getting it for 3 weeks. And if you don't, I'll be back. It's okay. I'll be back. And even if you do, I'll still be back. Even if you do need a break, I'll still be back. So there you go. Well, let's get into it today. Matthew 10, 7 to 8. As you go, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, sending them out to go and make a difference, sending them out to go and proclaim what Jesus has been proclaiming and empowering them to go and do ministry. He says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. And then he says, freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. Lord, would you just speak to our hearts today? Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a free gift of salvation, of grace, of love. And we haven't had to pay anything for it because you paid the cost. Help us now, Lord, to see how you've asked us to freely give that, since you have freely given it to us. Let us be people of grace and love, that this world may know your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you've ever received something for free. I don't know. I can't think of a whole lot of times in my life that I've experienced a free thing given to me. But there was one big one that was a pretty amazing one. When I actually lived in Courtney, the first car that I had bought broke down. It was a Toyota Paseo. And it was not a great car. In general, it was just not a great car. And I was living kind of in the woods. If you've been to Sela campsite, I was living in the cabin that was overseeing that. And then my car broke down. And so I had no car. I was kind of living in the woods. I didn't have power. My cell phone wasn't usually very charged. I lived on my own. I was afraid of my own breath because I often thought there was a bear outside my window or something like that. I'm like, this is trouble, and I have no car to get away, and what am I going to do? And so my car broke down, and I didn't really know what to do about that. And then at the end of the summer, I was at my uncle and auntie's house, and they had this little truck. It wasn't a nice truck, but it was a truck. I said, that's a nice truck. I lied, I guess, but I said, that's a truck. Anyways, what are you doing with that truck? Are you guys planning on getting rid of that? And they said, well, not really. I said, well, tell me if you plan on it, because I bet I could afford something like that. That's not how I said it to them, probably. But anyways, I said, I'd be interested in buying that truck. It's probably the right truck for my lifestyle right now. And so about a week later, my auntie calls me and says, Evan, we'd like to give you that truck for free. Whoa, a truck for free. I'm thinking, that is a pretty good gift. And if my uncle was the one who called me, he wouldn't have said the same thing that my auntie said to me, because he wasn't thinking the same thing that my auntie said to me. But anyways, she said, we're going to give you that truck. I said, that would be incredible. Wow. Thanks so much. Freely I receive that. And so they decide they're going to give me the truck. So my auntie said, okay, Paul, my uncle's name was Paul. Okay, Paul, but we can't just give away this truck. We need to go ahead and we need to get the brakes fixed. We need to do a few things. There's a chip in the windshield. And so they start investing in the truck that they're about to give away freely. And my uncle was like, what are we doing? This isn't even one of our sons, you know. I would never give our sons this either. So why are we investing in this thing that we're about to freely give away to our nephew? And so they put new brakes, all of these things, and then they went to give me the truck. And I wasn't even available to pick it up. They had to drive it up to Courtney from Parksville. I was working. I got home from work. The truck's parked in my I don't know if you call it a yard, but anyways, in my zone. And there's a note that says, here's your truck. We love you. And my Uncle Paul said, no, we don't. No, he didn't. We love you. Here's the truck. They had all these signed papers. The number was zero on it. We fixed the brakes. It's all in great working order. Take care. See you later. They drove home, and I never even got to see them give me the free truck. That was a great gift. Freely, I received that gift. And so I drove that truck for a little while, but soon Kendall and I decided we were going to get married, and her vehicle was much nicer than that truck, which wouldn't have been hard. And so her vehicle, we decided, you know, we only need one vehicle as a married couple, so let's just go ahead and we'll get that vehicle. My truck ran out of insurance about a few weeks before we got married, so I just wasn't going to insure it. We were going to think about what to do with it. And then I was working with this guy, and the guy said, you know what, I want to start a gardening company. A gardening company, okay. And he said, I'd love to start this company, except I just need a truck. I thought, oh, great. Now I know I'm on the line, right? Because sometimes we receive something for free, but we have a harder time giving it away for free. Even if we got it for free, we sort of think, yeah, but look at the value of this truck. I mean, they put brakes into it. They did all of these things. I could probably sell it for a pretty good dollar. And then how about I just give them half or something like that? He can go start to buy. No, I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew that freely I had received, so freely I would give. By the way, this is the only story I could think of in my life that ties to this. So it's not like I do this a lot. Don't think too highly of me for here. I'm not giving away things free all the time. Okay? Don't start looking at my minivan and asking for it. So with my truck, I said, okay, I know I need to give it away. He wanted to start a gardening company. Okay, I'm going to give it to him. I'll work it out. That's good. So I said, listen, I want to give you my truck for free. And he said, wow, you'd give me your truck for free? I said, I will give you my truck for free. The insurance runs out at this point. You just pick up the insurance and it's your truck. You go start your gardening company. He said, okay, great. But I can't afford insurance right now. I said, okay, no problem. I'll just park it on the street. I didn't know that was not a good idea. So I parked it on the street. Insurance ran out. It was just on the side of the road. And I'm thinking eventually he's going to pay for the insurance and he's going to start driving the truck. Well, some time passed and it became the neighborhood joke to throw garbage in the back of this truck. And so my truck is sitting out on the street. I'm watching it get filled with garbage. And eventually someone puts a green, like forest green, leather love seat in the back of this truck. And it's like as big as the truck. It's sticking out like this. It didn't fit in the box. And it's sitting there and people are just laughing at my truck. There's a love seat sticking out of it. I'm watching this. It's kind of a joke. But I'm thinking, when is this guy going to take the truck and get it off the street? And so eventually, one morning, I look out and the truck's no longer there. I'm thinking, finally, get that thing out of my hair. Well, I call around and it's been towed to a compound. So the truck has been now towed into a place. I say, how much is it going to cost to get out of there? They say, a lot of money. And so I'm thinking, now I need to get it out, but if I want to get it out of there, I need to pay for insurance. And so just to get it out of the compound, I'd have to get insurance to drive it out of there. I called this guy, I said, why didn't you take the truck? I gave you a free truck, why didn't you take the truck? He said, sorry, I still don't have any money for insurance. I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go pick up the truck, I'm going to insure the truck for a month, I'm going to drive it to your house, I'm going to drop it off. You need to figure out what to do with the love seat. He probably used it, another free thing. You need to figure out what to do with the truck, but I'm going to leave it in your driveway, and that's it. And so I had to go and pay for my truck to get out. I had to pay for insurance, and then I had to transfer the insurance to him. It was crazy to give this truck away for free. It cost me a lot. But I learned in that time that anytime you receive something for free, it costs someone something. Anytime you get something for free, it costs someone something. The other investment I put into that truck, by the way, is my favorite shoes, board shorts, and book were in that truck. I never got them back. Just to add to a little bit of my pain, just so you can be part of it. Anytime something is given for free, anytime something is received for free, it costs someone something. When Jesus says, freely you have received, it's not that freely he has given, it's that we have received freely, but it cost him a lot. It cost him a lot to allow us to receive grace for free. It cost him a lot for us to receive forgiveness for free. It cost him a lot for us to just live sort of carefree and in the grace of God, knowing that our eternities are set with him. It cost him a lot. In the same way, when he says to us, now freely give, he's not saying, just be free and easy with what you give away. He's saying, some people are going to need to receive something from you, and if you're going to allow them to receive it for free, it may cost you something. Christians receive free grace from Jesus Christ, and then he says, okay, now go and give that for free. What he's saying to us is, pay the cost. You know, put in the work. Work hard. You may have to sacrifice something so that someone else has no barrier to know my free grace. Sometimes we sort of get in this place where faith was free for us. You know, receive grace by faith through Jesus Christ. And then we start to add to it when we talk to someone else. You know, we come to the altar and say, Jesus, I just can't believe you've set me free. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not everything that I need to be. And yet you give me grace for free. That's incredible. And then we leave here and we start to tell other people the story. And people say, okay, how can I receive that? Well, come to church at least 3 out of 4 times a month. If you come on August long weekend, there's bonus points. Memorize scripture. You know, you need to say this prayer this many times. You need to do these certain things and dress this certain way. And once you do, then just ask for the grace of Jesus Christ to come into your life. We add something to it because usually we're paying for it by that point. Because the reality is when we receive grace, it's for free. But grace changes our life so much that we all of a sudden start giving up things in our life. We might change the way we speak because of the grace of Jesus Christ in our life. We might change the circles we hang around because of the grace of Jesus Christ in our life. Because he has set us free, we might change our patterns of living. We might change our need for money. We might change our job and our direction. We feel like we've given up a lot. So when we talk to someone about receiving Jesus, we say, you need to give up a lot. But Jesus said to us, I'll give up a lot so you can accept this for free. And once you do, it's going to change your life. In the same way, he says, now you give up a lot so that someone can freely come to me. And that type of thing will change their life. Sometimes we start to measure our Christian faith, how well we're doing by how much we give up, by how we live. You know, well, I'm not a very good Christian right now because I haven't prayed in the morning for this many days in a row, or I haven't done this, or I am a really good Christian right now because I've had 3 conversations with people about you. We start to measure ourselves, but the reality is grace. We can't get good at receiving grace, but we can get good at giving grace. We can't get good at getting grace, but we can get good at giving it. You can't get good at something that was given to you for free. I couldn't have gotten better at receiving that truck. That was easy for me to do. You know, here's a free truck. Yes, thank you. You know, that was it. That was all it took. But giving that truck freely, that was hard to learn. That took me some work. I had to change my heart a little because I knew how much value was in that truck. The one giving is usually the one who knows the value in a greater way. Sometimes when we know the value, it means that it's harder for us to give away freely. You're not even going to give anything for this? Come on, I've been going to church for 30 years, and now you think that you're just going to walk in and still receive the same kind of grace? I have been working for this. You need to work for this too, right? We start to do that. Jesus said, no, freely give. You pay the price. If you have to put in 30 years of sitting through bad sermons, or good ones, I don't know. You decide. If you have to put in 30 years of going to church, 30 years of reading the Bible, 30 years of praying, 30 years of doing all of those things, so one person can finally come to me for free, it's worth it. Because you need to pay the cost, Christian. Jesus says, freely we have received. Freely give. Freely give. I think it'd be good if we stopped measuring our Christianity by the life that we live, and more, we start measuring it by the life that we give. Not how we've changed our life. Look how many ways we've changed our life, because what are we changing our life for? If not so that we have a testimony for people. If not so that we can give people an opportunity. Jesus doesn't say, I want you to be generous so that you have a good Christian life. He says, I want you to be generous so that I will be glorified and you will be able to help people see me in a better way. I start giving up my money and people are going to start saying, why are you doing that? Why are you acting that way? That seems strange that you're being so generous. Why are you buying all those backpacks for kids that you don't know? That seems surprising. That seems, I'm not really sure. And you say, well, Jesus, I mean, he gave for me, so I'll pay the cost so that others might have a chance. Because those kids that receive the backpack, they may be able to say, I wonder if Jesus might be real. Because I get a good year at school this year. Make it cheaper for them. Make it free for them. Don't cheapen it. Make it less expensive for them to find Jesus. Build the bridges. Tear down the walls. We're humble, not just so that we can see God, but so that we can rise other people up. And other people start saying, why are you rising me up? Why are you getting behind me? You're supposed to try to shove me out of the way and try to win. No. I've already won. And in fact, there's only one who's won. His name's Jesus Christ. So since that's already established, I don't need to push myself ahead. I will be humble and I will move you forward. Humility didn't require humility to find grace. Jesus said, you have grace for free. If you want it and you believe it, you have grace for free. But as soon as I receive it, I say, I want to be humble. And when we are, other people might have a better chance of seeing Jesus Christ. We make it a little easier for them. He made it easier for us. How do we make it easier for them? Freely we have received. Now freely we give. Jesus talked about this type of concept in one of his kingdom parables. Matthew 18:23-40. This came after Peter. We've talked about Peter a few times and this idea before as well, where Peter comes to him and says, Jesus, how many times do I need to forgive these annoying disciples? And Jesus says, basically as many times as they sin, you forgive them. That's how much you should forgive them. And he says, well, that's the most disappointing thing I've heard, but okay. And then Jesus says, let me just tell you a story here for a second. Matthew 18, 23 to 40. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. In other words, this king had some servants who he had given some money to. He had sent some money their way and given it out to them, and he had helped them. He had maybe given them some land, but they had to pay him back in their life or in money or in service or whatever. And he wanted to settle some of those things down. So he wanted to settle accounts with the servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold, that's a lot of gold, was brought to him. Can you imagine that weight on that person coming in? I got 10,000 bags of gold that I owe this guy, and I'm a servant. I don't make a lot of money. It's hopeless. It's hopeless, right? He comes in, it's hopeless. There's no chance that this person is paying that back. There's no chance that he's going to be okay. There's no chance he's going to figure this out somewhere along the way. And he comes into the king's court. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Seems kind of cruel, but kind of fair as well. The king says, oh, okay, you can't pay it back. Here's what we'll do. You all are now slaves. We'll sell the wife, sell the kids, sell you all, and we'll try to pay back some of the debt. We're not going to get it all back, but we'll try to make back some of the debt. And you just owe me that. That makes sense. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. He said, wait a little bit, and I will pay back everything. That's a complete lie. There's no way he's going to pay back everything. He just couldn't, you know. He's just not going to pay back everything. I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. The master doesn't say, oh, okay, if you're going to pay back everything in a while, we'll give it some time. We'll wait a little while. We'll see how it comes. I'll let you try that again. Doesn't say, let's see what happens along the way and see what's going on. No, he says, you seem like a person in need. And you're coming before me and asking me to help you. You're coming before me and asking me to create an opportunity for you. You're coming to me and you're trying to work this out. And you're saying, I can't do it, but I'm going to give my very best to it. I'm going to try to figure it out. I'm sorry for what has happened. And the master says, you know what? Don't go make the money. Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself that you think you might get it. Don't spend all of your time trying to figure out. Don't give the rest of your life trying to make up a debt that you're never going to pay back anyways. Instead, it's forgiven. Instead, all of it's gone. Instead, don't even think about it again. Instead, go and when you save money, you know, take your wife out for a date. You know, when you save money, go and live a different kind of life. And when you save money, go have some fun. Go give it away to people. Go invest in a new ministry. Go do something special. When you go and make money that you are going to have to pay back debts, instead use that money for something else, for other people. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. So remember, we're comparing 10,000 gold bags to 100 silver coins. Servant went out, found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. What kind of guy does that, right? He walks out. He's just literally walking out. It's like, can you believe that just happened, wife and kids? Like, we literally just got out of slavery. Like, we would have been stuck in there. He just forgave everything. Hey, this guy owes me, and he just starts choking him just like that. Like, what is that? What kind of sick person is this? I don't know if you thought about that. This guy is twisted, right? He's weird. Like, he's bizarre. He's got anger issues. He's got something going on. And I want you to think about something. I bet you the master knew that. I bet you the master knew exactly how messed up this guy was. Exactly how deranged he was. And yet the master looks at him and says, you know what? This guy in his worst is still going to get free. because of who I am. This guy in his very worst is still going to be free because of who I am. The master says, I'll take the cost. I'll take the cost. Even for this messed up guy, I'll take the cost. Why? The guy said to him, hey, I want to change my ways and I want to do all these things. And the master doesn't say, no, change your ways. He doesn't give him an ultimatum. He doesn't say, now you need to go and live this way. He just says, you're forgiven. He gives him a chance to go and live his life in a completely different way, free of all the debts that he's incurred, free of all the guilt that is riding on his back, free of all the shame that he has. He says, just go and live your life free, free of what you've had to face, of what you've thought about, of all the guilt that you have, of the thought of being a failure as a person, of all of the things. Live your life free. And the master expects that because he does that, that his life will be changed. That he'll live a different way. But the guy goes out and he starts choking someone who owes him some coins. Pay back what you owe me, he says. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. Exact words that he just used to the master. Be patient with me, I'll pay it back, I promise. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant. He said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. I like that. Because you begged me to. Why? Because you changed your life. No. Why? Because you became a good person. No. Why? Because you did all of these things and prayed the right prayer. No, not because of that. I canceled all of your debt because you begged me to. Because there was a need in your life. Because you had something you couldn't pay back and you asked me to help. I canceled it all. I gave you a chance. I threw it all in. I paid everything. I paid for your debt. It's not like the master says, okay, it's all. He pays for the debt of that person, says, I will take it all. Why? Not because of who you are, but because you just need me to. And I am someone who gives when there's a need. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. I'll tell you something. It's hard to pay anything back when you're being tortured. This master says, I gave you a fresh, clean start at everything. I took everything on myself so that you didn't have to carry any of the debt. And then you walk out and you start telling people who owe you that they owe you, and you start choking them and living that type of life. He owed you a fraction of what you owed me. And you think you have the right to go out and choke them into submission until they all of a sudden say, okay, here's some money, or here's what I have. What right do you have to do that? The master says. And I think Jesus would probably say the same to his church. The same to the Christians. I want to tell you something, Jesus says. I took everything for you. You owed me. You have sinned against me. And yet I said it is all forgiven. And I'm for you. One thing we don't have the right to do is now add a cost to that forgiveness when we go out to tell other people about it. Oh, you just have to change your life and do these certain things and then you can get in. No, 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 no. The master expected that when that guy went out, he would go and forgive the debts that were owed to him. He would pay a cost for himself so that others would be able to be freely receiving the same kind of life that the master gave to the servant. Quite the story. I'm going to invite the Pastor George and Jessica. They're going to go to the communion table, as well as our worship team and our communion servers. This morning is communion, and they're going to take communion together, and then the worship team and servers will help us take it after that. Communion is a special time for us as a church. It's a special time for any church. But we do it once a month, the beginning of every month, the first Sunday of every month. We set up the communion table. And communion is a time where we remember Jesus. We remember who he was. We remember who he is. We remember what he did for us and the life that we get to live because of that. And what he did for us is he said, all of the debts, all of the sins, all of the things that you have done, all of the badness in your life, all of the mistreating of people that you have accomplished in your life. What he did is said, if you want it, I will forgive all of that. And we say, well, what do I need to do for that? No, no, no. If you want it, I will forgive. Well, who's going to pay for it? Me, said Jesus Christ. And that's what we remember in communion. We remember that he was beaten, he was mocked, he was betrayed, and he was hung on a cross so that we could live. Live this kind of life, like the master gave to the servant. Go and live a new kind of life that when you make the money that you make, you don't need to collect from people because I have paid all the debts. I've given you an even slate. You don't need to go and make anything from anyone. You don't need to acquire anything from anyone. I've given you everything that you need. Now just go and live a life for me. And when you do, people are going to see you and be encouraged by you. I know when you go into workplaces and when you go into families and all of a sudden you don't need anything from the other person, the other people, the other things. And you just say, I'm just here to serve and I'm just here to love and I'm just here to care for you. And I'm here to stand by you and I'm here to stand with you. And you're not thinking about how long is it going to take or how much do they actually appreciate this? Or am I actually getting anywhere? Are they actually giving their life to Jesus yet? Or is this actually, you know, all of those things that we sometimes think about. We don't need to think about those. Because Jesus says, no, 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 I took it all. So you don't need to gain anything from anyone. In marriage counseling, I always talk to husbands and wives and say, a marriage is not two halves becoming one, it's two wholes becoming one. Because you don't need anything from anyone when you have Jesus Christ, which means that you get to give everything to everyone. So when you gain something, you don't need to say, how is this going to benefit me? You can actually start to say right away, how is this going to benefit someone else? How is this going to help someone else see Jesus Christ? How is this going to help someone else experience the life that I've experienced? Because I don't need this for myself. Or we can start to say to our time and to our talents and to our treasures and to all things, we can say, I don't need you to support me. I don't need you to build me. I don't need the fame to make me feel good. Jesus has taken everything. I have a clean slate. I am full and I am satisfied, which means when I gain something, I can give something. I can pay for someone else to find that. I can make the door a little easier for someone else to walk through. I can work with Jesus to expand the opening so that someone can come through. And when that grace reaches them that comes from me, then the grace of Jesus will be so much easier to see. And communion is our reminder that Jesus said, I am enough. I am enough. That if you feel like today you didn't know Jesus or you weren't sure where you stood with things, Jesus says to you today, you just need me. Some of you didn't come to church believers in Jesus Christ. But Jesus would say to you, the door is open. Communion doesn't make sense if you're not a believer. Communion is we take juice and bread to remind us of the flesh and blood that was beaten and torn for us on the cross of Jesus Christ. It doesn't make sense if you're not a believer. So if you don't want to take it today, you can let it pass. But if you say today, you know what, I'm searching my heart. It seems like I've got some debts. I've got some things that I owe. I've got some things that I've done wrong. I've got some things that I could probably have done better in my life. If there's someone who is willing to pay for all of those things so that I could have freedom, I'll accept that gladly. I'll receive that gladly. If that's you today, then when this comes around for the first time, you can say, I'm going to take communion as a believer in Jesus Christ. Give my life to Him. So that from this point on, as my life changes, as I give up things that don't glorify God, I will do that for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the sake of the other one who needs to know Him. Paul said, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Eat this. Remember me. Remember what I'm about to do, disciples. Remember what I have done, Northgate. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.